10 till sign, right? Because we get out at 10:59, right? Roughly. That's right. All right, so we're starting out with preacher jokes. When someone needed a boat made, what did the people in town say? I know a guy. What kind of car would Jesus drive? Chrysler. Paul? Okay. What did Daniel tell his real estate agent? I want a house without a den. One more before I get those. There had to be one Rotten Tomato up there, right? Before I get tomatoes. What Bible character was the best musician? Oh, Darlene's got it. Solomon, he brought the house down. Yeah. All right. So, interestingly enough, you guys can see the title of my lesson this morning. Okay, yeah, yeah. Is that called acclimating to the voice? Okay, all right. Am I living his design? Which kind of ties in, interestingly enough, a little bit. You know, Brian touched on it a little bit in his communion thoughts. Frank touched on it in his lesson, especially with the woman at the well, John chapter 4. That's one of those latter verses. So we are action-packed with Scripture today. So I'm going to have a lot of people reading, so I hope you brought your sword or some form of sword. So as we begin, Kevin, would you mind going to the first one, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, and just sit there? And then Taryn, if you don't mind going to the second one, which is going to be Jeremiah 29:11. And so my thought process, I haven't had any mowing thoughts lately because thank goodness, you know, the yards burn up and I hadn't been mowing. But I'm still consumed by driving thoughts. So as I thought about what to talk about, those thoughts were consumed by, am I really living the life that I was called to live, but more importantly, that he designed me to live? And so I think we have to really believe that we were designed to live a life, okay? So, Kev, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called.
Live a life worthy of your calling. Now, do we believe, like I said, that we've been called to live that life? And do we believe that he designed us for a purpose? Now, if we haven't accepted that, or if we don't believe that, I pray that we will. And if you feel that maybe it hasn't happened yet, don't give up. I think we need to live every day with our eyes wide open. And we have several go-to verses when you look up this particular topic. Taryn, if you don't mind, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the plans that I have for you. Now, did I understand that at the age of 12 when Buck Dozier baptized me? Absolutely not. You know, Sandy and I taught in his kids earlier this year. I think it was for the month of March. And our first Sunday in there was the day that Reese was getting baptized. And I found myself, though, in that moment, my joy for Reese, for Shayna, for Jeff, for Jim, Shayna's daddy, the family, I found that my joy was almost overshadowed by doubt. Doubt that she's ready. She doesn't understand Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I didn't understand that at the age of 12. And it took me to a story 20 years ago up in Franklin, and I guess this family might still go there. Was a couple that had three boys, 14, 16, and 18. The middle boy named Adam, had just turned 16, got him a vehicle, just learned how to drive. And on his way home one night on 1008, which Larry and Julie and Sandy have been on, it's a four-lane highway in a very unassuming flat stretch. Right front tire went off. He lost control, flipped the Explorer, and died. Come to find out, at the funeral home and kind of at church, Frida, the mom, of course, she and Wayne were just mortified. But Frida, more so, because at the age of 12, Adam came to her and said, "Mom, I'm ready to get baptized." Frida's reply to him was, "You're too young." Adam never asked again. So I take myself in these Reese moments to that moment. And his death caught me to capture every moment that we have with young people. So when Abby in the fifth grade said, "Dad, I'm ready," when Sam in the fourth grade said, "Dad, I'm ready," I had a different perspective on that. And I said, "Sure." It also taught me to be filled with joy as these young people are ready to be immersed. Think of joy instead of apprehension. Are you really ready? It taught me to harness doubt and to let that joy shine. So now we watch and we wait, you know, as these young people beckon to follow what a couple months later in that family. We watch as they're molded into what he designed them for. What will they be? What will they? Where will they serve? How will he use them to shed light? So you're going to see about three different areas. You know, Mark Hayes, Morris Mayo, and myself had Tom Holland for speech, freshman year at Lipscomb. And your speech is an introduction. Didn't say anything about preacher jokes. Introduction, three parts, conclusion. So we're going old school, Sean. In 3 minutes. 30. Yeah, 30. So, designed for a purpose. Now, I have got, let's see, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I know. I skipped one, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, in a nutshell, we are created to do good works. Created to do good works. Now, how serious do we take that verse? How literal should we translate it? And for those of us who are list makers, who makes out my list? Well, there are shared works that we all are involved in. Mary, if you would be turning to the Matthew scripture, Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Jeff, will you jump to the Romans 15 passage? Darlene, if you will get to the Acts 15 passage. Glenn, if you, sir, will get to the 1 Peter passage. And Larry, if you will get to the Matthew 27 passage. And we'll get to all those in a minute. And I would encourage you to jump around as we read these passages. But we have shared works. So those are things that we are all expected to participate in as we journey. Okay? Number one, we got to shed light. Mary, Matthew 5, 14 and 16 through 16.
"You are the light for the whole world. A city built on top of a hill cannot be hidden. And no one lights a lamp and puts it under a clay pot. Instead, it is placed on a lampstand where it can give light to everyone in the house. Make your light shine so others can see the good you do and then praise your Father in heaven."
It is absolutely imperative that we all reflect Jesus. Not just if it's in our DNA or our makeup. We all have to. Now, how we do that, though, varies. And that's how he designed it. You know, I'm not going to shed light in the same way that Sandy sheds light. But as we interact in this world, can others feel him? Now, do we get it right every time? Absolutely not. So, we're asked to shed light. We are also, all of us, expected to encourage. Okay, Jeff, you're in the Romans 15, 1 and 2.
All right. "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up.
You know, this work here is twofold, according to that passage. First of all, we are to bear with the failings of the weak. Not one of my strong suits. Never has been. You know, my mentality has always been, you messed it up, you fix it. And as you fix it, don't involve me. Again, we don't get it right every time.
That swing's still standing at camp, right?
It is. Okay. Yeah. Now, Darlene is in Acts, 15, 36 to 40. So we're going to get a biblical example here of somebody also struggling to bear with the failings of the weak. Okay, fire away.
Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord.
Now, it worked out, but in that moment, Paul didn't bear all that well with John Mark's failings. How do we bear with others' failings? Well, I think first of all, we have to be able to listen. And after listening, again, for some of us, is the struggle not to react. That's just how I'm wired. Problem, solution, fix. It took me a long time to be able to listen and not react. It is imperative that we become a sounding board. Even if that is unnatural for us to do, especially the way we're wired. You know, I've mentioned before that I grew up an introvert. I really didn't have very much to say, and I really wasn't overly excited to hear what others had to say. That was just me. But, you know, time coupled with life experiences can have a way of changing us through the years, can't it? Somehow, I've evolved into a sounding board. I also, believe it or not, rarely run out of words. I know that's hard to believe for many of you. So, these two, I'm going to call them late life elements that have been added to my resume can lead me into some very peculiar spots. And I'm going to share this story, and I probably shouldn't. But Frank said ass in class, so I'm going to share this story. We're going back a couple of months. I am with my son. Sam's 22. Six of his buddies, they're 22, 23, just graduated college. We're in the Grand Canyon and Zion on a backpacking trip. So, rough time in the Grand Canyon, so we finally get out, blah, blah, blah. So we roll into Laverkan, Utah. We go to our little Airbnb. I said, where are we going to eat? Of course, you know, they're looking on their phone. I'd rather ask a local. They're looking on their phone. Let's go to this Mexican restaurant. I'm thinking, boys, we got a day hike tomorrow. This old man does not need to eat Mexican. But I said, okay. We roll into this Mexican restaurant. Little mom and pop. I'm last. All seven boys order in front of me. And as I'm walking up, I noticed this strange apparatus that this young lady has on, almost like traction. You know, these underneath her shirt, these couple things are sticking out. I thought, car accident, this is going to be weird. I'm going to ask her, even though I probably shouldn't, right? Yeah, I'm shedding light. So, it's my turn. I get up there, I'll have, you know, this and that and this and that. I said, by the way, what's going on there? She goes, oh, I'm milking. And I look down, and there's a bag right here. Sure enough, those are two breast pumps underneath her shirt, and she's milking, and then she proudly shows me her seven-month-old new son.
This was during the shortage, right?
No!
The baby formula shortage.
Point being, the more we listen, the less we react. So after that, you know, I just paid and Anyway, there's a whole lot more to that story. But somehow we have to be able to bear with the failings of the weak. And that starts with the ability to listen and not react. Then, besides those shared works that we're expected to do, there are individual works. Okay, Glenn, I think you're in 1 Peter 4, 10, and 11.
As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified.
So how then do I know what capacity he needs me to serve? How will I know what areas to serve in? Well, I think we have to start with what we're good at. After all, that really defines a talent, right? The things that we're good at. But you know, sometimes we can be called off the bench to play. I think about the apostles called off the bench, right? They're fishing and doing other things. Boom. Think about Moses getting called off the bench. Abraham got called off the bench. But there are other times when we must ask ourselves to be put into the game. Okay? Now, who did I have? Larry, Matthew 27, 57 to 60. Fire away. He asked to be put into the game, right? Nobody texted Joseph and said, hey, you know, I know you got a tomb out there you just cut. He asked for the body. He wrapped the body, it says. He cut out the tomb himself. You know, I wonder how long that took. And I wonder, you know, if that image of that torn body that Isaiah tells us about, I wonder if that image of that torn body was just burned into his mind, you know?
You said how long did it take him to build that tomb. He built that tomb and had no idea what his purpose was going to be or for.
Exactly.
It's like kind of knowing it.
Yeah. He was compelled to walk into it though, Sean, right? Yeah.
My resources, here you go.
I wonder when he decided to do all of that. When was his heart pricked? We don't know. I wonder if his family knew what he was doing. Convicted he was, though, to stand up and do something. Right? Mm-hmm. When is the last time that that's happened to us?
Even when it wasn't popular, right?
Absolutely not. No. Our work is not quite over, though, just because a certain task is complete. Peter adds that after we serve, we are to administer God's grace. Struggle bus for this old man. I can serve, no problem. Tell me what you need, where you need it, when you need it. I can do that. But to give somebody something that they do not deserve, Sean, I struggle with that. But we have to be able, as Glenn read, we have to be able to work. And we have to be able to administer that grace. And to do that faithfully, it says. Faithfully administering God's grace. Faithfully there, to me, is interpreted consistently. Right? Who did we pick? We didn't. Because I didn't have that one down either. So, Sean, you're going to Genesis chapter 50 real quick. Genesis chapter 50. And in Genesis 50, will you just read, of course, this guy's, should be the story, if I'm not mistaken, of Joseph and the brothers. So when you're there, Sean, we're going to read 18 to 21, okay? Genesis 50, 18 to 21.
Then his brothers also came to him, bowed down before him, and said,
we are your slaves. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. And I am in the, am I in the place of God? You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Therefore, don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your little ones. And be comforted them. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. How far?
21, that's it. How did he administer that grace? You know, after the roller coaster ride that he'd been on ever since they threw him in that pit.
He sure wasn't what they deserved.
Are we in service according to what he designed for us? And are we administering that grace according to his design for us? You know, my second section, though, God can use us anywhere. Brandon, you have a form of a sword. Would you mind that Jeremiah 29 passage and kind of sit there? Brian Moore, if you have a form of a sword, would you mind landing in that Genesis chapter 21 passage when we get there? Genesis 21. And I think I only want to do, though, Brian, 14 to 20. Genesis 21, 14 to 20 when we get there. And then Paul, would you go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4 and sit there? Proverbs 16, 4. God can use us anywhere. Brandon, fire away in that Jeremiah passage. It's two different sections of verses there. I think it's important for us to understand, and that's why I had him read all of that, that God put them there. You know, we think about these stories, and well, Jimmy ended up here, Israelites ended up there because of bad choice. He says, I put you there. And while you're there, I want you to be respectful to that city. And while you're there, I'm going to come back and get you. And you're going to come back to me. He uses us where we've been planted. There are times when God puts us there. And sometimes they don't seem fair. I'm sure they didn't seem fair to these guys, right? Didn't seem fair to the Israelites in Egypt 400 years. How could he possibly benefit from me landing here? How could it be possible? Brian, Genesis 21, 14 to 20, if you don't mind. You know, I've been in a tough spot or two, but I have never had to sit and wait for one of my kids to die. Crazy story. And if you back up to verse 8, you'll understand, just in the previous reading that Brandon had, that Abraham was struggling about sending Hagar out. But the Lord said, no, do it. Send her out. You know, sometimes life and our choices dictate where we're planted. And there are stops along our journey as we travel through life, you know, that some of us have experienced that don't align with God's expectations. And these stops, unfortunately, many times can yield negative ramifications. And it is during these stops that we experience consequences. It is during these stops when we lose the ability to shed light. Now, does that mean that God is not there? Absolutely not. Don't misunderstand me there. But I firmly believe that we can lose the ability to shed light. And I also think that we can become ineffective as we live outside of his parameters. Okay? Paul, Proverbs 16, verse 4. Not forgotten by God. Again, don't get me wrong, but I have told you guys from about the age of 15 to about the age of 23, I was an ineffective member of the body of Christ. If you poured it, I drank it. If you rolled it, I smoked it. If you could swallow it, I took it. And in that span of darkness, no light filtered through. Okay, I couldn't be used because I was sealed off from the ability to shed light. Okay, my motto during that time frame was, especially about, of course I grew up here, going to church here during that time frame, I was playing church. My motto about this place was, anywhere away from here. Okay, I was utilized by darkness to pull other people into darkness. Looking back, couldn't see it at the time. However, I made it out on the other side. Amen. Thanks in large part to prayers, my former bride. But, you know, I look at Judas Iscariot and he didn't make it out. I look at Achan and all of his family members hiding those spoils. You know, Achan, he didn't make it out. So I'm blessed beyond measure. All right, to make it out. So this is called Plant Me, Lord. Okay? All right. Plant me, Lord, in a kitchen sink. Slow me down to wash and think. As kids pass by all day and night, so they may glimpse into your light. Plant me, Lord, in a workplace safe, where I can speak your mercy and grace, where all are fractured and don't feel right. Plant me there to shed your light. Plant me, Lord, in a family place where loss has saddened many a face. A family once vibrant and full of light. Plant me there to shed your light. Move me, Lord, if I'm not right. Move me swiftly in the night. I can't see you. I've lost my sight. Move me, Lord, to shed your light. Plant me, Lord, where you see fit and give me strength to never quit and not complain if things aren't right. So plant me, Lord, to shed your light. God can use us anywhere as long as that anywhere is in alignment with him. Babe, how are we looking on time?
10:48.
Okay, we're rocking. So let's see here. Shannon, you got your sword? Okay. Would you get the Psalm 119:73? And Gregory, do you have means to a sword?
Yes.
If you, sir, wouldn't mind getting the John chapter 4, 4 through 9 passage, which Frank touched on this morning. Okay. So obviously, as you see there, My third point this morning, I just titled it Seekable Moments. Okay? So, Shannon, Psalm 119:73.
Your hands made me, informed me, give me understanding to learn your commands.
Give me understanding to learn your commands. And in that area of commands is our quest to search for moments, okay? Moments that allow others to catch a glimpse. Moments where we can move people. Moments where the world says, pass by on the other side, okay? And these moments don't have to be grand. They don't have to be on a stage, front and center. They can appear as some of Jesus' moments, very, very unassuming. So, Gregory, John chapter 4, 4 through 9. Most of us, just guessing, probably wouldn't have given her the time of day. And what's interesting, Gregory, is it said that he had to go through Samaria. Obviously, there were two ways, right?
The bypass.
The bypass. And most Jews went the bypass because they didn't want to go through that section of half-breed town, right? So I find it interesting that he had to, okay? Matter of fact, the disciples say, what are you doing talking with her? And what a resume she has, right? Not the gal you'd want to bring home to mama, right? But you know, she's the kid at camp that is a little bit dirtier than all the other kids. Now, not because the bathhouse is closed and the showers don't work, but simply because she's only got two changes of clothes for the whole week. Right? She's the kid who comes through the chow line, timid and shy, but grateful, because there's just not a lot of food at her house. Okay? Now, this next one, and we have to wrap our minds around it, because these kids are in our presence. But she's the kid who acts out in misdirected anger because her stepdaddy's beating her at home. We can't not think that those kids aren't in our presence. And Darlene will tell you that as them kids come through the line, we have about 10 to 15 seconds at each meal to make an impact. That's not a lot of time. You multiply that times 14 meals and we get, what, 3 or 4 minutes? But in a very unassuming place. Those kids are coming in that kitchen for food. They're not coming in expecting to see Jesus or to see light. But we have to. So do we have what it takes to stop at that well? And furthermore, are we seeking those moments? Moments that, if you think about, in that gal's, the woman at the well, in her lifespan, that time with Jesus during those few minutes was about that big, 1 millimeter. Moments that happen in the blink of an eye, but moments that can change people forever, right? Are we intentional as we travel through life? Seeking those moments. And so to wrap it up, am I living his design? You know, I can't help but think about Roy and Nancy this morning, you know. Man, they did and are, right? But really only we can answer that. So our challenge, as I leave you with one this week, our challenge this week is to go out of our way to shed some light to somebody. Somewhere. Go out of our way to shed some light with somebody. Okay. Questions? Anything?
Before we... I just have one thought.
Comments?
The times throughout Scripture, the examples in all these verses, you know, where evil has been out there, God has been there. I've heard it said God can't be in the presence of evil. That's not true. He can be there as that light to lift you out.
Right.
He's always been there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe change their life. Most common sense thing that I can think of right at this moment is take Ukraine and the issue with Russia. Those people, their cities, their homes, everything is being destroyed. I've been to Ukraine, and I know that as a rule, people weren't just flocking to the Church of Christ. They weren't flocking to learn about God.
Mm.
Never been more baptisms and people seeking God than there is right now.
Right.
You touched on it. You know, are we putting ourselves there? Well, there's a lot of people that are. They're putting themselves to bring others in.
Mm.
And that's a good class to give an example of that.
Right.
So God's there. He's waiting for us to come to Him.
Right. I agree, 100%. Prayer list.
Yeah, I got a really good friend of mine. He's had a Job-like life, just unproportional tragedies in his life. He lost his daughter when she was 19 in a car wreck. He lost his wife because she had some complications with diabetes and a foot sore, staph infection. Lost his son, who was a drug addict and overdosed. And now he's been diagnosed with cancer in his kidney. So,
wow.
His name's Mark Garner.
Garner?
Garner, yes. And I think he has a special place in my heart. So.
Okay. Anybody else out there? All right. If not, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity that we've had to come together, dear Lord, and open up your word and just listen to it. We pray, dear Lord, that we move forward with shedding your light. And dear Lord, we pray that we also have the ability to accept your design for our lives. And we pray, dear Lord, that we walk into that design. Dear Lord, we want to lift up Mark Garner, Sean's friend, who has had a rough life. We just pray with him. Pray for him, dear Lord. Lift him up. Continue to be with him. Be with Sean, dear Lord, as he reaches out to encourage Mark. And dear Lord, we pray that you use us this week in some way, some fashion, to shed, dear Lord, some type of light in a very unassuming manner. Dear Lord, keep us safe. And we ask, dear Lord, that you grant us wisdom and knowledge to be used in your favor. In Jesus' name, amen.